Everybody, I'm Pastor Jeremiah. So honored to be with you here today. We've been looking at our series, Voice to the Voiceless. And today we're looking at the voices of the marginalized. Now, that's a big word, and someone used this to help me kind of understand it. If you take a piece of paper, where are you supposed to write? In the margins. And this represents people in society who benefit and are able to fully participate in society. And then there are people who aren't here. They have been marginalized. They've been pushed out to the margins. They're not able to benefit and participate in society. And the people over here are very, very vulnerable. And the Bible has categories for these types of people. It calls them the poor, the orphan, the widow, and the newcomer. And also, the Bible tells us about God's heart for the people here. In Deuteronomy 10:18, it says, He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and He loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. Now, we can't talk about all these types of people here today, so I'm going to focus on one of these categories, which I believe intersects all of them or touches on the rest of them, which is poverty. Today, society is set up to favor those who have access to money and finances. And dare I say, society is set up to worship money. And those with money are praised, they participate, and those without money are pushed to the fringes. And today, there are about 120,000 people in Edmonton living in poverty. About 1 in 8 people. There are about 40,000 children living in poverty, 1 in 5. And also about 2,000 to 3,000 people living in homelessness. Unfortunately, these numbers have been exacerbated due to the current situation. And the marginalized, such as newcomers, people of color, indigenous peoples, and widows and orphans, those disconnected from family, are more likely to end up in poverty than anyone else. And today we're going to look at scripture to a story in Mark 10, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, a man named Mr. Bartimaeus, to look at one of the marginalized lives and how Jesus responds to him. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Starting in verse 46, hear the word of the Lord. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Let me pause for a sec. I love this passage. I work for the Mustard Seed and those living with poverty and homelessness. And whenever I read this passage or this part, I can't help but think of many of my friends on the street who are very loud. They love to share their voice. They don't care what people think. And I just can't help but think about it. Let's continue. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, Call him. So they called to the blind man, Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, remember that, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight, followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word, which penetrates into our heart. Thank you for this story in which we hear the voice, the strong voice of someone who is marginalized. Help us understand this story and for us to react and see this person as a child of you, Lord God, and to respond as Jesus did with love and compassion. And I pray for those who are struggling in poverty right now, those in Edmonton who are just trapped in a impossible financial situation with because of this current situation. Be with them. Be their strength, Lord. May their hope and trust be found in you. Pray for those around the world, most of whom live in poverty. Be with them, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit to comfort them, and also rise up the church there to be their voice, to be an advocate, to be an agent of peace and justice. And I pray for the church in Edmonton and here at Mosaic House. May we too proclaim your kingdom to those who've been marginalized, to bring them into community, to let them know that they are God's children made in your image and they are loved by you. And help us to learn from them, hear their voices, to see your kingdom for what it really is. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this time. Guide us as we read your word. We pray this in the compassionate name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we're going to look kind of deep into this story in Mark chapter 10 to see first what poverty is, and then three ways that we, the church, can be a microphone for the marginalized. The marginalized, they do have a voice. And like Bartimaeus, it is loud and strong. And we, the church, are called to amplify that voice for the sake of God's kingdom. Now, first, let's look at what poverty is. In this story, Bartimaeus gives us a picture of what true marginalization and true poverty is. Jaya Kumar Christian says that poverty is a complex web of broken relationships. And in this web, we first relate to ourselves and we experience brokenness in ourselves. Bartimaeus has brokenness because he is blind. He has a disability, is not allowed the same opportunities and privileges that others may have. And all people living in poverty and who are marginalized, they experience some kind of brokenness in themselves. Some have mental health concerns. Some have a chronic disease, maybe FASD, a work injury, the effects of trauma, deep feelings of shame, even poor nutrition affects the brain and inhibits someone's ability to make good decisions. One common story in Edmonton is actually that of depression. One of my friends lived a normal life. He worked the same job for about 30 years, and through his life, though, he struggled with depression. He tried his best to be strong, to reach out when he could, to kind of fight his way, to just kind of bare-knuckle it. But it came to a point where he couldn't hold it in anymore, which affected his work. And unfortunately, he was fired from his job. And in that moment, his depression just gave way with his full force, and he ended up homeless. Now, one of my friends describes it in this way. Would you rather be poor and happy or rich and paranoid? True poverty isn't just merely lack of money, but the lack of joy, contentment, and a wholeness in yourself. An ability in yourself to succeed and be strong when times get tough. Also in this web, we relate to others. And also we experience brokenness in community. Now, we don't know where Bartimaeus' family was. Maybe they had passed away, and maybe they had rejected him. They just were maybe tired of helping him. And like orphans and widows, many of the marginalized have been separated from their families. Many of my friends, they've lost dear loved ones, and it still hurts them and haunts them to this day. Many people here in Edmonton, their families are not here. The families are overseas. My father currently lives in poverty, and he experienced a lot of brokenness in his family. His mother died when he was 12 years old, and then his father was a very abusive alcoholic. And unfortunately, he too died when my dad was 15, and my dad was an orphan, and that still affects him to this day. Also, the crowd, the people around Bartimaeus, they didn't appreciate Bartimaeus' boldness. Leslie Newbigin, he argues that forms of karma had influenced the Greco-Roman world, which had also had impacted the Jewish mindset. And this is kind of seen in John chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. Jesus and his disciples, they came across another person who was blind, and the disciples asked him, "Jesus, who sinned? Whose fault was it? This man or his parents that he was born blind?" And Jesus replies, "Neither. But this man was blind that the works of God may be displayed in him." During that time, it was hard to conceive that such suffering can happen to someone without them deserving it. And unfortunately, it's very similar to today. And Israel during this time was under the Roman Empire, and Rome claimed to be a meritocracy. And basically that meant that those who were at the top were there because they deserved it. They were good. And those at the bottom of society were there because they deserved it. They were bad. Unfortunately, this was not entirely true. There was no way that women or those with severe disabilities could ever get to the top. Slaves had a chance to get to the top. However, there's always a danger of being assassinated. Those that in power at the top, they wanted to stay there. And in a similar way, Canada claims to be a meritocracy. However, that too is not completely true. The system has been set up to favor certain people, and marginalized people, they are plagued with personal and systemic racism, discrimination, and prejudice, and it's almost impossible for many of them to move from here to there, to get to the top, no matter how hard they try. And like the days of Rome, many people believe that the poor are there primarily because they deserve it, because of their choices, because their character is bad, or they're just lazy. Now, I've met some people who are poor that are lazy, but also I've met a few lazy rich people as well. My friend who is living in poverty says that one of her church friends said this, which I think captures the attitude some of us have. Well, they just shouldn't be so lazy. We all make our own choices. In reality, most people living in poverty, they don't have many choices. Their choices are between staying in school and being bullied because of the color of your skin or the type of clothes you have, or being hungry or selling your body for sex. One of my friends puts it like this: "You have heard that the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, so is poverty. Poverty forces you to do terrible things in order to survive. If I had a job or other opportunities, I would have gladly taken them instead of all the things I did." And because of their disconnection from the wider community, many of my friends find it difficult to go to a mall, let alone a church, without being scrutinized and judged. Also in this web, we relate to God and we experience spiritual brokenness. Many people believe that Bartimaeus was cursed by God because of his sin. And maybe he believed that too. Also because of his disability, Bartimaeus couldn't fully go into the temple of God to worship the Lord. He can hang out in the foyer, but not come into the sanctuary. And today, half of the community of Edmonton who is homeless is also Indigenous. And through residential schools and further assimilation attempts like the 60s Scoop, many of them received messages that God does not love them. One of my friends was told directly by their foster family that God does not love them. God can never love people like them. Now, the more complex this web of brokenness in one's life, the more one, more likely one experiences poverty in the fullest sense. And Bartimaeus, he experiences great poverty. He suffers greatly, and Jesus comes and heals him completely. Jesus not only heals Bartimaeus' sight, but also he brings him back into his community. He's no longer seen as cursed. Also, Bartimaeus' ability to see now enables him to go into the temple to worship the one true God. And this was the purpose of Jesus' ministry, to bring about what the Bible calls the kingdom of God. and with it, the restoration of all relationships. And though not in full color yet, in Christ, we can experience a foretaste of God's kingdom. Today, in Christ, we can experience wholeness in ourselves. We can be reconciled to our neighbors. We can live in harmony with all creation, and we can be reunited and have communion with the one true God and call him Abba, Father. And now we, the church, are called to be part of and participate God's kingdom in Christ here and now through the Holy Spirit. And one of the great ways that we do this is by serving the marginalized, serving those living in poverty. And through the story of Bartimaeus, I just want to look at three ways that we can participate in God's kingdom as we serve the marginalized. And those three ways are this: speak up, listen, and learn. Let's look at the first one, speak up. Once Jesus calls Bartimaeus, call him, go get him, the crowd seemingly changes their perception of him. They welcome him. Oh, cheer up, Bartimaeus, come up. And like Jesus, we are called to speak up on behalf of the marginalized in order to change hearts and minds. We're called to participate in God reconciling the wider community with the marginalized. One story I'll share is at the Mushi, we take groups, kind of like a little walk around the neighborhood of the inner city to learn about the big issues. And we were walking in a public space, and one of our friends who was experiencing homelessness joined us. And as we were walking through, a security guard came up and started kind of harassing our friend. And we decided to speak up and tell the security guard, he's with us, he is one of us. And it took a while to convince this guard, but eventually he did, and he left us alone. Another way that we can speak up, which I'm personally passionate about, is affordable housing. Right now in Edmonton, there's a shortage of 50,000 units of affordable housing. And affordable housing shouldn't be just in one part of the city, but across the city. And there's a lot of fear towards affordable housing. And dare I say, hate towards those living in poverty. And we, the church, are called to speak up, to tell the world that these people are made in God's image and his children. And we are called to speak truth to the lies. Contrary to popular belief, affordable housing, there is no connection between affordable housing and increased crime. And there's no connection between affordable housing and decreased property values. And I believe we, the church, are called to create these spaces where we can have these conversations of how to speak up and serve the marginalized. In Isaiah 58:7, it says, isn't the true type of worshiping God and fasting to bring the poor who is homeless into your homes? My friend says that, you know, if we're not comfortable bringing them into our home, let's at least bring them into our neighborhood. And this is one way we can participate in God's kingdom. And I believe that God has placed you in your position, your neighborhood, for a reason. And I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit what you can do with the gifts God has given you. And I encourage you, as a house church, to think of ways that you can speak up for the marginalized. The second point is to listen. Jesus asks Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? I've always wondered, Jesus, isn't that obvious? But this is really important. We, the servers, sometimes in our pride, we think we know what the marginalized community needs. And in the West, we tend to define poverty in material terms. That is, if someone is hungry, they need food. But like we have explored, poverty is much more complex and deeper than that. And unfortunately, if we simply give and serve based on our assumptions of what they need, we end up potentially doing more harm than good. One of my friends and their family, they live in poverty, and a church really wanted to help them, which was great. However, they didn't really listen. And some representative of the church came into my friend's house, and they kind of judged and criticized my friend for buying fresh produce rather than cheaper types of food. And my friend was like, The brain needs good, healthy food to break the cycle of poverty. Also, my friend bought some bikes for the children. And the church members, they too were kind of judgmental. Like, why did you buy bikes? Isn't there a bigger need than that? And my friend again said, this is so important to break the cycle of poverty. If they are able to ride their bikes, stay healthy and active, not stay in the room and isolate on their screen, there's a better chance of them getting out of poverty in the future. And through their interactions, unfortunately, my friend was hurt by the church because they weren't willing to listen and understand the situation. Now, my friend, or a book I've read on toxic charity, Robert Lupton says this, listen closely to those we seek to help, especially to what is not being said. Unspoken feelings may contain essential clues to effective service. And what he's trying to say is that serving the marginalized takes true, deep listening. And this listening takes relationship. It takes trust. And the funny thing is that oftentimes the relationship is itself might be the thing that the marginalized really needs. It's not terribly hard to come to the place like the masjid and serve for a couple hours. It's quite another thing to give your life, to journey with someone until you and they meet Jesus. Isaiah 58:10 says that we are called to spend ourselves for the poor. Not just spend our money, spend our time, but spend our very being. And one of my friends living in poverty says this, we need, as Christians, to get messed up in each other's business. There is no simple, comfortable answers here. We need to actually be the family of Christ. We as the church can't just simply help those in poverty when it's convenient for us. We must sacrifice as Jesus did for us. One foundational text for Mosaic House is Acts chapter 2, 44 and 45. And in it, we see a picture of the church of Jesus Christ. And in it, they actually shared all their possessions. They sold any extra and they gave it to the poor. And in that image where they shared everything they had, there was no one in poor among them. And this is the attitude, the mindset, and the actions that we are called to as a church. Last point is learn. I really believe that the marginalized and those in poverty have a special place in God's kingdom. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we should not just go to the poor to bring God's kingdom, to serve them, but we should recognize that God's kingdom is already powerfully at work there. And the poor are often able to see God at work in his kingdom more than anybody else. James 2:5 says, has not God chosen the poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and inherit the kingdom he has promised to those who love him? Another guy named Greg Paul says that when we go to those living in poverty, we should be the presence of Jesus and see, look for the presence of Jesus. And in the story, Bartimaeus is blind, but he is able to see more of God's kingdom and God at work than anybody else. And there are, quickly, I'll do three things that I learned from Bartimaeus and my friends living in poverty. One is sacrifice, two is being poor in spirit, and three is faith. First, sacrifice. When Jesus called Bartimaeus, the text says that throwing his cloak aside, I love that image. People, commentators argue that that was his only possession and could have been his collection plate. That could be the place where he's keeping all his money. And once Jesus called him, in an instant, he sacrificed everything for Jesus. There's so many great examples of friends I know. Two of my friends, one is a Caucasian man and one's an indigenous woman. They're a couple and they are followers of Jesus. They love him so much. They do struggle with many things though. And it's hard at times. And many times they become homeless. And one time they just recently became homeless. And they saw me on the street, like, hey, how's it going? And I heard they were homeless. I go, what happened? And they said, well, our son was on the verge of homelessness, so we sold everything we had and gave it to him. Now we're homeless. And I was like, what? Are you serious? And they're like, yeah. I believe this is what God wanted us to do. And don't worry, he will provide for us. And like Bartimaeus and my friends, they are willing to sacrifice everything for God and for their neighbors. Second one is being poor in spirit. Just before this story in Mark 10, there's a story of two disciples of Jesus, James and John. And they come to Jesus with a request. And they thought God's kingdom was like a meritocracy. That is, those who do well, who are obedient, to follow the rules, they should have a higher place in God's kingdom. And they come to Jesus and say, Lord, you know, can you make us top in your kingdom? Put us on your left and right hand side in your glory. And Tim Keller and others calls this being middle class in spirit. We believe that when we work hard for God, we do all the right things, pray, read our Bible, go to church, that we deserve a good place in God's kingdom. However, Jesus says, you don't understand my kingdom, do you? Those who are first in the kingdom must be a slave of all, must be the last. They must be the servant. It takes the cross. And in contrast to James and John's request, Bartimaeus fully understands the gospel of Jesus. He knows that he is a sinner. He has no goodness and righteousness in himself compared to the Almighty God. And instead of saying, give me, he cries out, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's the gospel. We're not saved by how good we are, but how good God is in Christ. Bartimaeus knows that he cannot appeal to his goodness, but only the grace and mercy of Jesus. And it's a gift. And Bartimaeus is poor in spirit and recognizes this. And finally, I learned faith. Before many people, Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. He calls Jesus the Son of David. The Israelites at the time were waiting for this Messiah, this Savior. And this Savior was in the line of David. And Bartimaeus, I don't know how, he knew and saw Jesus for who he really was and asked the Savior of the world to give him sight, to heal him. And after Jesus healed him, it says Bartimaeus followed him. And I pray that you have this openness to learn from those living in poverty. Let me just end with this one story. One of my friends, he's a tall indigenous man with a small piercing eyes and the best mullet I've ever seen in my life. And he's a man really faithful to Jesus. And we have deep theological talks together. And one day we're hanging out and we're talking, and also he was holding a bag lunch. And he looked at his bag lunch, looked at me and said to me, Jeremiah, I don't think I'm trusting in God right now. And I was like, oh, what do you mean? And he looked at the bag, looked at me and said, I'm tempted to save this food for tomorrow. I should trust God daily for my needs. And then he reached into his fanny pack. I told you this guy was cool. Pulled out this little New Testament Bible wrapped in a Ziploc bag. Flipped the pages and almost every word was underlined in a different color. And it came to Luke 12, which says, Jesus' words, do not worry about tomorrow. What are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. And in that moment, I don't know what happened, but I think it was like a Kairos moment. God came in and I saw my perspective completely change as I saw God's kingdom more and more. Now, I'm not saying that we should become poor to enter God's kingdom. No. All I'm saying is that we should learn, hear the voices of those who are marginalized and impoverished, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it's my prayer that we seek to learn from our community. Through my friends, they're peeling the scales from my eyes to see what the kingdom of God really is. And we need their perspective in the church, not just to be served by the church, but in the church, in order to fully grasp the gospel and the kingdom of God. And I encourage you, if you are part of the church, part of Mosaic House, and are living in poverty and homelessness, one, let me tell you, we're here for you. And two, let me tell you that you are a blessing to us. God is using you to edge us as a church closer to God's kingdom. Don't feel ashamed or embarrassed because you are considered rich and highly favored in God's eyes. And my hope is that as we, as a church, speak up for the marginalized, we also listen and learn from them, for theirs is the kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your great kingdom, which is based on your great love and grace, not our own good deeds. Thank you that when we were marginalized from you, you embraced us, you accepted us. And I pray for those maybe who haven't understood this or have been trying to earn your grace, that they would hear this message and come and turn to you. And if that's you, I pray that you would turn to Jesus, our Savior. He fully accepts you for who you are. And Lord, as we learn from those living in poverty, I pray that we would be emboldened to speak up, to amplify their voices, so that others may hear the good news of your kingdom, your good news which sets the oppressed free, gives great news to the poor, and the recovery of sight for the blind. Help us to be a part of your kingdom for your glory and praise. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.